Hi, I'm Tim, and this is TBV, the year of our Lord 2024. Water, wonderful water. Today we're exploring the theme that goes right through our scales of creation, from the planetary perspective down to the essence of the code of life, the DNA alley, as we're calling it. Across this broad scale, from the large to the small, we're looking at the wonders of water, this amazing part of our experience of creation, something that is key to the very nature of life, even to the existence of life in its beginnings. We are watery beings. We are very wet. If you cut us, we bleed, and our blood is water with lots of extras. We require water on a daily basis. We can't survive many days without it. We breathe out water so much each night. We get up and are lighter when we weigh ourselves on the scales. We are those who have a keen sense of cleanliness that comes through washing with what is sometimes known in the scientific community as the universal solvent, this one thing that dissolves almost anything and can be used to wash clean. We rely on water in our machines, whether it's our dishwashers or our washing machines that we look to service in so many ways. We breathe in moist air. In fact, dry air causes us trouble. We are those who look around us and see water. Most of us live in places where water is on tap. We just turn the faucet and we are provided with clear running water. What is this marvel? Well, its origin is early. It's there in our universe. It is formed out of two fundamental particles, two elements of existence. These aren't the fundamental particles of particle physics, but the fundamental components that we call elements. Almost everyone hears the phrase H2O and knows that means water. This is two of the tiny hydrogen atoms combined with one oxygen atom, which is a lot bigger and heavier than the hydrogen. And this has marvelous, I mean amazing, properties like little else in all of creation. One of the distinctives of water, apart from its washing and flowing capabilities, is what happens when it gets cold. When things cool down, water does something that is different, something contrasting to most materials, to most elements, and even combinations of elements. What happens with water is indicated on the dashboard of your motor vehicle. When the yellow light comes on with a snowflake, this snowflake comes on at 4 degrees and stays there until the temperature drops below 0 degrees. This is using the temperature scale that works from 0 as freezing up to 100 as boiling. This is called centigrade and used to be called something else. This temperature scale is marked around the wonders of water. It's gathering in those first 100 degrees above zero, the liquid experience of water under normal conditions. Below that, it's ice, it's a hard and solid material. Above that, it's steam, a floaty, diffuse diffuse gas. What we have here is that as the car indicator turns from yellow to red, we've gone into the solid zone. But you find frost on your car, frost on the ground, before we get to that zero point. And the reason for this is quite miraculous. Water, unlike other materials, doesn't behave in the same way. Unlike other materials that get smaller as they become solid, water actually gets larger. Its density goes down. It makes more space between the atoms than when it's flowing as a liquid. As you can imagine, when a kettle boils, water makes steam, and steam takes up loads more space than water does. And this is the very foundation of the Industrial Revolution, this steam, this expanded space that is required by hot and gaseous water, makes steam engines work and drove those belts in the factories and moved so much of the world's energy into motion, whether it's the locomotion of a steam train or the running of a mill. This is what happens normally. Normally you heat something up, it expands a little, and then there's this transition, this phase transition from liquid to gas, and everything expands, everything balloons. It fills space and takes more room. But what happens when you cool water down? Going in the opposite direction, instead of it becoming smaller when it's solid, it actually becomes larger. It takes up more space per number of atoms, per unit volume. That's the kind of way of measuring size. And that makes ice light. I don't mean it's luminous, though it does reflect light beautifully in many circumstances, but it is not as heavy, not as dense as the water on which it comes from. And this changes everything. This means that life is possible. Why? Because if ice was smaller, if ice was denser, if it was heavier per amount of space, it would sink. It would sink to the bottom of the oceans. It would sink to the bottom of the lakes. It would sink to the bottom of your tray of ice cubes. Instead of forming a skin on the surface, the puddles that we find would be wet on top and icy at the bottom. And why does this matter? Because if this happens, then life is not possible. The oceans then freeze more and more from the ground up, and the cold accumulates. But instead, what we have is this skin, this wonderful watery layer of ice that appears on top and allows life to go on in the depths, deep down, where it is cold but squashed with pressure, keeps everything moving. And this movement under the surface, this cold but clear fluid, then allows life. It allows us to live in a way that is not possible if water got smaller when it got colder. And this transition starts to happen from around 4 degrees on the way down, and that's why ice can form even in non-ideal conditions. That's why there's frost on your car even before it's cold enough for everything to freeze. The slight imbalance of temperature from the different materials, from the metal and the glass, changes the balance, and you see the crystals start to grow. And here we come to one of the other awesome aspects of watery wonder, which is, like the snow that has so many different forms in each snowflake, so varied that it's not repeated across time as we understand it. But when you look at your car bonnet, when you look at the crystals that have grown across it, they form all kinds of patterns. And the is something incredibly beautiful and brilliant that happens as ice crystals form. The patterns that we can just glimpse at the human scale are mirrored by intricate patterns being followed at the microscopic scale. Here, water is becoming a wonder. It is forming a solid, but a solid of such creativity, not inventiveness by each action that happens, but by the way it's been created. This is key to life, that there is so much going on in this apparently simple material that allows life to form. We use water to transport almost everything inside of ourselves. It's how we process our food. It's how we move the energy we need to our cells. It's how we wash away the waste. This is what happens inside us, and this is what happens outside us. Not that all our food is transported by water, but much of it can be. The oceans of our world are this massive feature of our planet. It looks blue from far away. Looking from the Pacific side of the planet, it is a blue planet. So much of the oceans are not yet explored. Their depth and their wonder is stunning. And with the salt that we see in the oceans, the salt that is formed and created into the very character of the water, things then become more buoyant. Things can float in the salt water, and coarse saltwater fish need that environment as freshwater fish need that environment. And with the salt comes what is called salinity, that is poisonous to us if we try and drink it. We need to desalt the water, to desalinate the water for it to become drinkable. So we have an abundance of water. We have a superfluidity, of water that allows us the freedom to travel the world in ships. And now that the technology has been created that can desalinate water, we have more than enough for drinking. Of course, the technology, the energy production all needs to be in the right places. But there is amazing work going on, bringing life in the desert places, bringing fresh water, and using it with care. Treating this water as precious brings life. When we treasure this gift, this life enabling entrusted to us, we are then able to grow things where it seems inhospitable and without hope. And this is what the water of life does. The water of life revealed by Jesus Christ when he was on earth is the gift of his spirit, his very self. He calls us to come to him, to come to him if we are thirsty, to come to him and to be washed clean, to come to him and to receive this drink that changes us from the inside. On a hot day, as a teenager, I remember going to a particular tap in the extension of our house where the water would come almost straight out of the ground and it would be cool and fresh and refreshing. This water was wonderful. It would go through me. I could feel it traveling through me and cooling my body. We are offered the water of life by Jesus Christ, the one who came before all time, who was at the Father's side, the one through whom All of this was made and designed. The one who made us, each of us, to know him and to be in a love relationship with him. One family gathered under one head, even Jesus Christ himself. He was the wisdom at the Father's side, the craftsman who delighted in all they made. This watery planet that the scripture teaches us was all covered in water before the earth and the land was formed. What is now being revealed by science, that this planet had to be fully wet, fully a water world before the land could appear, for the chemical reactions needed to have the materials that we require for life to exist. And the Bible even describes it as bursting from above, like a womb bursting over the planet, as if an icy asteroid or meteor crashed down, bringing vast volumes of wet water to melt and cover our planet's surface. This watery wonder is found elsewhere in the solar system. It's only in recent decades that we've discovered the icy worlds that exist in the moons around the planets of our solar system, the icy stores of water in the craters, the sun-shielded craters of Mars and our moon, that we're finding that water is in so many places. This water that can provide fuel for our rockets, that can provide washing for our astronauts and cosmonauts, this is the water that we rely on here on Earth. Simply and pure, it is oxygen and hydrogen. It is the water that gives grace to us, that sustains us, that we require. This is the image that Jesus himself built into creation for his interaction with us. Of course, his relationship with us is wider and deeper and broader. His engagement with us is more beautiful, and it is many times more multifaceted. But he chooses water as the image. He put water in creation, integral to our existence, for us to have a picture of our engagement with him, that he would be the sustaining life that we need, that he would be the washing of our souls, that he would be the drink that we would turn to day after day. I'd like to ask you, are you hydrated? Are you drinking Jesus? Are you dependent on him as you are on water in your daily life? Are you getting clean from your sin and any shame? Are you knowing what it feels to be washed in your spirit? One point that is worth noting is that our souls, our spirits, can desiccate and dry out, but they don't die. We're like some of those creatures that can go into a water-free zone. They can freeze until they are rehydrated. And your soul may have tasted the Lord Jesus many years ago. You have been awoken and brought to life by his presence, but now that has gone dried out. It has become hard and unresponsive to him. And like a natural sponge, you too can be soaked in the presence of God. You can receive power from on high you can be washed clean and made alive. I'm Tim, and this is TBV. Until next time.